Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
First, before I even say anything, I just want to commend all of us Black men for coming together to talk about God. Yes, now, sir. We can start. Hi, everybody. My name's Nate. I'm back with more guests. Jeff is back again. So everybody that's not named Jeff, Dom, and Sean, welcome. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'll go. All right. That was crazy. My name is Dominic Mumford. I'm a undergraduate student at Lancaster Bible College right now. And I'm a biblical studies major. So thank you for having me on here, Nate, to discuss this topic.
My name is Sean. I'm a 2D animation major. Go to Savannah College of Art and Design. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it.
I forgot. He has to introduce himself again. My bad.
I do. Hi. I'm back. What's up? My name's King Veeam. Since it's the college episode, I go to University of Maryland, College Park. Go Terps. I'm a double major in film and information science. And I make YouTube videos, so you should watch them.
You want to tell them the name of the channel?
King X Veeam and Dinner Views. That's my podcast, Dinner Views, that will exist soon, hopefully.
I'm on it. So in a bunch of episodes, I mentioned the name Dom and Zoe, but this is the Dom that I refer to, the very wise, theological Dom.
Working on it.
So like Jeff said, we've already done an episode on college, but we're going to do it again. So this episode, I just have three questions for you guys. We're all Christians in college, obviously, in different locations. I'm in Blacksburg, Virginia. Dom, you're in Maryland. Jeff, you're in Maryland. Sean, you're in Georgia. All different college campuses. Dom, it's different for you because you actually go to Bible school. So last episode, me and my guest, Cindy, we discussed how college campuses are very contradictory towards Christianity, as is the world in general. Not a place that welcomes Christian morals, just living the life of a Christian in general. So my first question would be for all of you to just give a general background, paint a picture of what you think your college campus looks like when it comes to the state of Christianity or the religious atmosphere.
I can speak on this because something happened very recently. I go to a very large public high school, not high school, college. So it's not very religious at all. There are small Christian groups around the school, but there's not really a big, collective of Christian people, I would say. I'm sure that they're the people like me that are all across campus, but there's not a huge collective of people. And I was at work and I heard people, talking about, oh, Christians do this, Christians do that. And I feel like at least here at my school that Christians get a bad rep because the two large group of Christian people that I have seen at the University of Maryland, there's this one group of people and they come to the school and they stand like in the middle of this courtyard and they hold up signs that say, if you do not love Jesus, you will go to hell. And they go out there and they shout at people and, you know, they put on the signs that if you're gay, you're having sex, you do this, you do that, blah, 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 you will go to hell. And they're just like a laughing stock, basically, and people laugh at them. And then there's this other group, and you know, this group of people, they do a Bible study, and I went to their Bible study, but I don't know, something in my spirit, it didn't feel right to me. I went to their Bible study, and then one, the way that they approached me is just super weird. I was walking down the street, like in the morning, and I walked past this guy. And then after I walked past him, he like runs up behind me and he's like tapping on me. It was pretty creepy. I didn't know what was going on. But he like, you know, he does his salesman pitch and gets me to go to his Bible study. But I get there and then he's trying to tell me that, oh, that my church is wrong. I need to get baptized again at his church because his church has true disciples. And he was really trying to like, I don't know. It felt kind of cultish to me. But those are like the two large Christian, I guess you could say, organizations at my school, and it's not what I would align with personally.
I feel that. Hey, Nate, is it cool? Because I know I go to a Bible college right now, so I'm not sure how much that'll contribute to this. So is it cool if I talk about my experience, you know, back when I was at Towson University?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. But before I get started, what was the question again?
So at Towson, what was the, how would you describe the Christian or religious atmosphere for you, Towson?
Yeah, that's a good question. At Towson, often at times, in my experience, not everyone, but in some of the classes I took, it seemed very hostile to Christianity. I've experienced similar to what Jeff said. There was a time where I don't even think this guy was a student at Towson University, but he had a sign talking about, you know, repent or go to hell. And he also had a shirt, and it was talking, I don't know if it was a shirt or a sign he had. And it says something like, God doesn't like F-A-G-S. I don't want to say it, but God doesn't like gay people and stuff like that, or God hates them. Very, just the way that they went about it. And I feel like, The reason I got an issue with that, I think it's because I don't think that's how you accurately represent Christians, and I don't think that's the best way to do evangelism. I think evangelism is great. I think talking about sin is great. I think talking about God's wrath against sinners is great. I think talking about the gospel is great. But it's a specific way that you have to do that, and I'm not sure if, you know, using like derogative terms is the best approach. So what happened was, it was like a huge crowd and they were all just recording him. It was bad. I stood and watched for a second, but I couldn't really watch for long because it sort of grieved me, you know. And there's a way to go about evangelism where you can talk about the wrath of God and talk, and, you know, communicate the gospel effectively. But I don't think that's the best approach. But as for Towson in general, when it comes to like the Christian faith, at Towson, one thing I will say, not everyone that I met was hostile to Christianity, but there were times where I really did feel like I kind of had to stand up for my faith. Because it was around my freshman year at Towson, I'd say in the spring semester, where I really gave my life to Christ. I really decided to live for Christ. So we fast forward over to my sophomore year at Towson University. And I remember I took a class on religions, the world religions, the five major ones, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And what I found was very interesting, we studied it in that order. And what was very interesting was that the whole classroom, they didn't have a problem with Hinduism. They didn't have a problem with Buddhism. They didn't have a problem with Judaism. But when the professor taught about Christianity, a lot of people had a lot of problems about it. And they were saying things like, oh, yeah, this shocked me. One of the guys said, yeah, I was raised Catholic, but I don't really agree with it. I don't think it's right to push your religion on people. And then another girl spoke up and was saying how she doesn't like Christianity. She doesn't like how people try to push it on them. Another student says they don't like how Christianity just want to scare people when they talk about hell. And it really grieved me. So there were times I had to stand up. I'm not about to just jump up and start arguing with these people. I'm not flipping over tables or anything. But I did, you know, sort of felt like I had to stand for my faith. And it was just, it really grieved me to see that so many young people think that way about Christianity. Yeah, it really grieved me. And then around the next semester, I took a class on the New Testament. I was really looking forward to it. But little did I know, they were going to look at it from a secular perspective because it's not a Christian school. And once again, I think Tufts University is a great college, but it was very, very weird vibe, you know, very, very strange. And I just feel like if you're going to teach Christianity, you got to represent it properly. You know, I don't think you should misrepresent our religion, our faith, because once again, I took the religious studies class. No one had a problem with Hinduism. No one had a problem with Buddhism. No one had a problem with Judaism. No one had a problem with Islam. But for some reason, they have a problem with Christianity. And I think what the problem is, I think the issue is really just that, number one, Christianity is the truth. It's the single true religion. I'm going to just say that right now. And I think people don't like to be convicted. People don't like to be told that they're sinners and they need to repent. But I think what people miss is that if I don't repent, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm trying to help you get out of this. I'm not trying to just scare you out of it. I'm trying to help you. And I think people miss that. But that's been my experience at Towson University.
I'm going to say, hold on, let me bring the mic in real close. I'm going to say, so like, Hesked, I mean, I know there's like the groups, but for the most part, it's not really like as out there, I'd say. And then to piggyback off of Beam, like I did have the experience where some random guy like approached me when I was going to class. And like I went, I was like, let me check it out or whatever. But halfway through it, I was just like, this seems more like a whole recruitment thing instead of like a whole, let's talk about like what's right kind of thing. So like every once in a while, they'll like text me like, hey, are you interested in doing this? And I know it's probably not like the right thing to do. I just don't respond because like that's just who I am. But like past the groups that we have here on campus, like I just don't, I guess they're like by like the freshman dorms or something like that, but I just don't hear about them like at all. So whatever they're doing, I guess it's just like on like the down low, like if you know, you know kind of thing. But from what I've been hearing, it's like nobody's really like bashing the religion to my knowledge or that I've heard, because the few Christians that I've met, it's like they're just like really chill. They're kind of like you guys, of how it's like they're in the religion, they're in the faith, but at the same time, they just like kind of keep to themselves. Like they're not super out there like some of these other people maybe. But that's just for over here in Georgia.
So for my school, I don't remember if I touched on this in the last episode, but I also have groups. One of our groups, like the most popular one, is called Chi Alpha. And I'd say they're pretty valid, but there are other groups that claim Christianity that teach like false information. I won't even say Christianity. Like there's one group that says that says God is a woman. But I think, so like tying in everything all y'all said, you got the people trying to scare the hell into people. You got people with misunderstandings of Christianity. I think the issue is, and Dom, what you said about like people not, like everybody's okay with every other religion but Christianity, I see that here too. But the issue I see is that everybody that isn't a Christian has a misconception of what Christianity is. I'm not sure what that stems from. I think it's from social media, honestly. But I know, I don't remember when all this started, like the woke agenda, like all of that type of stuff. I don't know when it started, but there was a time when DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, became very, very important in colleges, workplaces, and everywhere in general. So I remember my freshman year, it was around Christmas, and everybody's like, let's decorate the dorms for Christmas. Let's decorate the halls. And ours like, no, you can't say Merry Christmas because it's not inclusive to other people's religions. Like some people don't believe in don't believe in God, so you can't say Christmas. But when I look at I support Virginia Tech. They have a whole school-funded building for the Jewish organization. They have, they openly talk about like Ramadan, all the Muslim holidays. But I remember recently, I ain't seen no Happy Easter. I ain't seen no Merry Christmas. I ain't seen no acknowledgement of Christianity. And I'm in this group chat with all the, not all of them, but most of the Black people at the school. And the president said they don't want to say, like, when they make some sort of public address, they don't want to scare the donors away with what they say. So they lean away from certain things, like certain races, as in colored people or Christianity. So I think I do see an agenda pushed at my school. But going back to that misconception, part of the reason why I want to do this podcast is to clear up those misconceptions. Like, to say God hates gay people is a very bad way of putting Christianity out there. And even like with the signs, like all of that is just bad for our image. So I'd say my next question for you all is, what are ways that college students should go about spreading Christianity the right way at college campuses?
You know, that's a good question. When it comes to evangelism, especially on a college campus location, well, I'm going to tell you what's not right, what we just talked about. You know, having these signs and shirts saying God hates this, this, and this type of people. I don't think you're going to win anyone over with that at all. But I guess what I do think would be helpful, I feel like if you want to do evangelism in your college, I think it would be good to speak to people one-on-one, or just, even if you have a crowd of people, just, I feel like having like a conversation with them instead of trying to, I don't know, just put the fear into people. But at the same time, there needs to be a healthy balance, because if you're going to spread the gospel, you need to know, you know, the gospel's the good news. You got to know the bad news first. You know, I've never heard anyone flattered when they went to the doctor's office and the doctor comes in and said, hey, I got good news. I got chemotherapy for you. I've never seen anyone happy about that. You know, you got to tell the bad news first. So I think that having a conversation with a person that you might want to evangelize and just asking them a simple question, whether it be, hey, what do you think about life after death? Or what do you think about this, this, and that? And when they give you their worldview and it's apparent that they're not Christians or they don't understand the Bible, I think what would help is you explain what the Bible teaches. You just explain what is the truth. You know, you speak about sin, you know, we're all sinners. And I think one thing that could be helpful is you could even use the law, because some people like to be in denial of their sin. Some people don't feel like they need forgiveness or need to repent. So you could use the Ten Commandments. Have you broken this law? If you've fallen short and you've transgressed God, you're a sinner. And we all stand guilty of his wrath. So we don't want to shy away from the judgment. That's a part of it. You gotta, but at the same time, you don't want to overcorrect people. You don't want to just overly do it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So when it comes to evangelism, I think you should have a conversation with somebody and let them know that, have them feel like they're a person and that they matter. And once you tell them how God, you know, is going to judge sinners and all that type of thing, I feel like what will be helpful is also after that, you tell them how much God loves you. People need to understand that God didn't necessarily send Jesus Christ so that he could love you. He sent Jesus Christ because he loves you. So I think that it's important to say that. And it doesn't matter if it's a gay person or not. I mean, even if it's a gay person, you can tell them God loves you. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And if you believe in him, you have eternal life. And I think that that's the best approach. Because what we have here is we don't necessarily overcorrect people. We don't necessarily condemn people. But we do tell them the truth, and we show that we care for them. And I think they'll be appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think that's a really really good point. Tell people that God loves them. Stop holding up the signs and wearing shirts and, you know, putting it all out there that, oh my gosh, God hates you if you do this. You're going to go to hell if you do this. I think you should tell people that God loves them. I feel like that'll draw people in more than, you know, telling them that someone hates them. They're not going to want to hear about whatever you're talking about. And then another thing that I thought about, like, at least for me at my school, I remember I got these other people tried to come up to me, but maybe like a flyer or something, because I know the one group that tried to talk to me, I'm walking to class. I got somewhere to be, and then these three dudes just kind of like corner me, and then I feel like I'm forced to like talk to you. I'm like, I got somewhere to be. I don't want to feel bad for just like walking away, but I'm just like, I got somewhere to go. Like maybe like have something like this, you know, start your own like Bible group or something like that, and like hand out a flyer to someone and be like, hey, you know, if you want to learn more or, you know, something like that, just hand them a flyer, tell them to come to your little Bible study and do that. But don't, you know, don't try to be like the FBI and pull up on somebody and try to recruit them to your cause or whatnot. I feel like that'll just like scare people away.
Man, I'm gonna feel like a hop on or a copycat or something for like copying what you guys are saying. But it's like, also, I agree with you. And then I think another thing could be just like, you know, present it in a way that will make people interested instead of trying to force it down people's throat. Cause I know that's like a whole psychology thing of the more you like try to force somebody to do something, the higher their willingness is to not want to do it. So like a flyer could be cool, or like, you know, making it interesting so that they become interested in it in themselves. Cause usually if you like want to promote engagement or whatever, like you just have to make it appealing to the audience you're trying to attract. So if you're like just trying to spread the message in a more, I forgot the word, but if you're trying to get it out there more, like more efficiently or whatever, you just gotta like make people want to know more. Like, don't be combative. Don't be like, oh, if you're like this, you're gonna burn for the rest of your life or whatever. Cause then people are gonna be like, oh, what the heck? I don't want to do that. Like burning for eternity. What? No, absolutely not. But this is like, yeah, just, you know, don't try to force it down people's throats. Don't be like super aggressive. And that's probably like the two best things I could think of.
Yeah, it just reminds me of last year. It's not really related, but last year, spring semester, I walked to the gym. My roommate walked to the gym. He came back and he was traumatized. He's like, yo, there's these people outside the gym talking about abortion. And I was just like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, go find out. So it was my turn to walk to the gym. And he wasn't lying. At the gym, it's like, it's a four-way intersection. You walk up, there's a roundabout. There's a crosswalk on each side of the roundabout. There's people on each side of the crosswalks on each side of the roundabout. So it's like, you can't get around them. My issue was, is they had these big posters of dead fetuses. So you got to walk up to them. They got a picture right there, and then they get up in your face. They're like, hey, what do you think of this? And when that happened to me, I was just like, why do you need my opinion? Why is that there? And I just kept walking. But to shove a dead fetus in people's face, even the people driving by, that's not, it's going to get their attention in the wrong way, though. Like these signs, yeah, it's going to get attention, but you're going to paint a negative picture on Christianity if you do that. You're going to have people, you're going to have non-believers thinking, oh, all you guys care about is not going to hell and hating people. When a relationship with Christ is rewarding, and while life gets harder when you have a relationship with Christ, there's great rewards, and that's one, eternity with Christ, eternity in heaven, and two, you're not being attacked. Well, you are attacked, but you're not living in the sin of the world. So like y'all said, I agree with everything. Well, I agree with what all y'all are saying, just approaching people differently. My last question is kind of like opinion-based question for y'all again, but What do you think schools need to do in order to normalize Christianity as much as they normalize all these other things?
I mean, like you were saying.
Oh, shit, my bad.
Oh, you can go.
Nah, you got it.
I was about to say, like Nate was saying, like, your school doesn't even, like, post about it or put it in emails or anything. I mean, I feel like it starts there, just putting things out there about Christianity, you know? Maybe having a church service on campus or something like that. Just having events catered to Christianity and, like, starting Christian groups. Because, I know at my college specifically, there's all of these frats, you know, like the white frats in particular. All they do is go out and drink and party, and that's like, that is very much advertised everywhere. You can go out, you can walk outside at 10 p.m. on a Friday night, and you're just going to see people going to the bars, going to go party, and it's never advertised people going to church, people going to learn more about God. I feel like schools need to, you know, put it out there because, like you were saying, I mean, I can't recall. I'm sure UMD put something out about Christmas, but I mean, I know they talked a lot about Ramadan and Eid Mubarak or whatever it was that was yesterday, whatever the holiday was. That was like a big thing, but none of the Christian holidays are like there advertised for you. So just putting more stuff out for Christians and not running away from it. Because I feel like because we have these people who are doing the things that we're talking about, Christianity's getting a bad rep, and then, you know, schools are like, oh, I don't know if I want to be affiliated with that, but you know, I guess it does start with us and Christians properly educating other Christians on how to live their lives so that we're not seeing that light. But yeah, just putting more stuff out and being more vocal about Christianity, I'd say.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I feel like that's a really great point. And if I'm not mistaken, I think every college has this. They have like, you know, I forget the term, but they have different like offices for the students, if I'm not mistaken, if you guys know what I'm talking about. So I feel like as a Christian, trying to, if you can't get into the office, try to get into one of those offices at your school. And if you can't, at least try to get friends with the people who are in those offices. And like Jeff said, be pretty vocal about it, of your desire. It's not like we're asking them to just turn this into a Bible college. That's not what we're doing here. We just want to be represented well. We want to be represented just as every other religion is represented. So I 100% agree with what Jeff said.
I forgot what I was about to say. But I think like another thing should be the same effort that is like being put into trying to make sure Christianity and all that isn't part of like the school life should be like, I wouldn't say like reverted or whatever, but just like the same effort should be used to like at least make some kind of inclusivity, since I think it was you, Nate, who said that like your school has a whole building for the Jewish community, right? Or I might be wrong with that, but yeah, like they have a whole building for that, but then like when it comes to Christianity, it's just like there's nothing, there's little to nothing, and then they just have such a bad rep. So I think just like, oh my gosh, I feel like a copycat. Oh my goodness. But like, you know, putting stuff out there, letting people know that like, hey, there's like this thing going on. There's like a Bible study, kind of like how you guys got me to start coming here, of how you kept promoting it. And I was like, okay, all right, let me pull up. Like, cause like that's, I'm also a Christian, like, you know, but then it was because you kept promoting it. I kept seeing stuff. You sort of showing up on my TikTok or whatever. And I was just like, oh, okay, then I guess I got to pull up now. Like this must be a sign. So just like just doing stuff so people know what's going on and then not being afraid of like letting other people know, but just like in a way where it's more beneficial than harmful to them.
I want to clear one thing up. They do have that Jewish building, but the organization I mentioned, the Christian organization Chi Alpha, they have a house, but it's not like a school funded building. It's just a house on the street that's by campus. But I think, Jeff, like you said, like promote events and stuff like that. I think people don't understand that Christians don't sit around and just read the Bible all day. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's probably some Christians that do that. But we socialize. We go on hikes. We go to movies. We do things that everybody else does. So, like, the organization I talked about, they have all these, like, they have ice cream socials. They go on hikes, go on retreats, movie nights, basketball, football, stuff like that. Like, just inviting people out to a Christian community and just seeing how loving a community is, or just how loving Christians are, real Christians, that's something really, really crucial for non-believers. They need to see that. They need to see how we act. Most people, I've said it in an episode before, most people that are non-believers won't pick up a Bible. So us as Christians are going to be the only Bible that they read before they actually pick up a Bible. So it's important that we put on a good example of, not even an example, we show who we truly are as Christians. And this is a little extra question. Has there ever been a time where, Dom, you already brought that up, but you can answer again with something else. But has there been a time where you faced pushback or backlash for ever showing your Christianity or showing your faith?
I haven't directly had pushback towards me, but I've just been in spaces where there's a large group of people just talking negatively about Christianity because of the things they'd seen, like the people holding up the signs and whatnot. And it just, it would make me feel bad because, you know, that's my faith. And then, you know, it's one against 10 other people in here. I can't really do anything about it because I'll just get attacked. But it's like you were saying, even if your school doesn't do anything, I feel like if you're a Christian in college and you're passionate and you want to, you know, have that group, start your own group and go do things, go be the Bible for other people. Let people see the way you live your life so that then they'll realize what a true Christian is. They'll realize that, okay, they're not just these judgmental people who think I'm going to go to hell. These are, you know, nice, kind, loving people who I want to get to know and become friends with. And then they're going to want to learn more about God because of the way you live your life and the way you present yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think to bring up another situation kind of similar to what I had mentioned earlier, I don't know if this would count, but I remember I took a class at Towson University on the Reformation. And, you know, the Reformation, it's a history class, but it's also, you know, the Reformation was based around the Bible, you know, the Protestants separating from the Catholics. But something interesting really happened. I forget who the theologian was, but one of the classes, the professor was talking about I wish I remembered his name, but it was a particular theologian. You know how these guys who aren't Christians, they say the Bible has contradictions, which isn't true, but that's what they say. They got a whole list of apparent contradictions, such as the dates or whatever the case may be. So I guess one Christian scholar took up the challenge to try to reconcile all the quote-unquote contradictions. And he got to a point where he couldn't really give an answer for certain things. But side note, what I want you to know is just because someone comes at you with a tough question about your faith and you don't have the answer, that doesn't make them right. It doesn't make them right at all. Now, I'm not saying that we could just be like, hey, it's in the Bible somewhere, I'll find it. And then 5 weeks later, we don't see it. But what I am saying is just because someone might come at you with something and you don't have the answer, that doesn't make them right. So It's okay to not know everything. But getting back to what I was saying about the class, he tried to reconcile the apparent contradictions. And we didn't, you got to think, we didn't have as much tools and research that we have now. So it was a lot more difficult during that time to prove those things. And I remember just the whole class was just cracking up. Like, it was just a ball for them. They were just really enjoying the fact that the guy couldn't reconcile the contradictions. They were making jokes about Christianity. They were making jokes about the Bible. They were making jokes about how, yeah, it doesn't make sense and all this stuff. And it just, it really grieved me. I really didn't know what to say. I normally always try to stand up for my faith, but at that time, I really didn't know what to say. And honestly, if I did say something, it probably would have turned into an argument. So you got to pick your battles sometimes, but that's some pushback that I've received, if that counts.
I wouldn't call it specifically pushback, but I do remember, now that I think about it, there was this one time in my communication class where, like, some of my friends, or, like, two of my friends, some other random people, I don't remember their names, I'm not going to lie to you, but they were, like, talking about, like, different religions, and then somehow Christianity got brought up, and then it kind of, like, went around, and everyone started talking, like, oh, are you religious? Yes, no, yada, 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 and it got to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. They were like, whoa, wait, really? Like, you're like, you're not like the others. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And so it kind of just went off of like how they're just like, well, you're not like how all the others that we've like come across have been like super pushy. Or they're like, oh, if you're like this, you're going to hell. If you're like this, you're going to hell. You're just like a normal person. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's like how it's supposed to be, of how like, yeah, you can be a Christian, but like you aren't, it doesn't automatically make you right to like try to force your own beliefs or religions onto other people, which is just like fundamentally at its core, just like not the right thing to do. And then, I mean, I wouldn't say like I convinced, but it was like, I know one person who was like, you know, I might like check it out. And so like, we still talking, they're like, oh, you know, I've like been reading the Bible. And it's just like, oh, can you explain this? Or can you explain this? I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll like break it down for them. And then there will be just times of how they'll come to me, and this would be like maybe 1-2 in the morning. I'll be like just chilling, doing my own thing. They'll be like, oh my gosh, I had like this whole revelation of how everything that people have been telling me has been so wrong. It's like, I thought that the Bible said that, like, oh, you know, God hated gay people, whatever. I'm like, no, he doesn't like the sin, but he still loves the person. So it's just like, I wouldn't call it pushback, but it's just like an experience I could have that's like akin to what you're talking about, like, of like, you know, just that kind of experience, if that makes sense.
You on mute, Nate?
Yeah. I will say it's unconscious. People would unconsciously offend me, but I don't think it's unconscious. Especially when they know that I'm a Christian. I have a whole podcast about it, and I'm pretty serious about it. Some of my friends would make jokes to me about it, and they would think it's funny, but I wouldn't like that at all. I don't like it at all. My friend said that, like, a religion is it's such a normal thing to joke about our religion or offend us because we're painted as the bad guys. And I remember my mom said it used to be people that aren't Christians hiding in the closet. Now it feels like people are trying to force Christians to hide in the closet now. I just keep thinking about the way my school just doesn't acknowledge Christian holidays and stuff like that. Like, they made a whole post about Ramadan and stuff. They, what'd they do? They literally extended gym hours to help people observing Ramadan have time to go to the gym in the morning or at night. But yet we can't say Merry Christmas on campus. I just really keep thinking about that. It's not fair. But Florian, Jonah, thank you for joining. Again, another black man here to talk about Christ. I love that. So I just got one question for you. You're a HBCU, so you're different from us. Just talk about real quick what would you say is the religious or Christian climate at Morehouse from your perspective?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. The thing about being here at Morehouse is that, unlike I can't speak for every HBCU, but I know about from going to Morehouse, like, we're a school that accepts people from all different walks of life. Even though we are HBCU, you know, different races, all that. With that being said, I feel like, you know, Morehouse College was founded in a Baptist church, of course. But I believe that we don't push Baptist beliefs onto everybody. Like, you could come to Morehouse and be Jewish, Muslim, whatever you practice, like, there's a group of people here that identify as that religion or whatever. But, I mean, of course, like, you know, we are Black people, and a lot of Black people do come from a Baptist background, especially being here in the South. But I would say the climate here on Morehouse is it's not, like, forced upon you to, like, oh, well, because everybody, majority of the school's Baptist, you got, you know, like, no, like, everybody here comes from different walks of life. And that's one of the things that I love about the school. It's very culturally diverse, I would say, in my opinion.
Something I noticed with my school is, there's some, like, in the group chat that I'm in with, like, most of the Black people, they're Jewish, like, some of them are Jewish, but they said they would go to Jewish organization events and just see what it's like. But what they said is, it seems more, there's a difference between a Black Jew and a white Jew, at least as far as the way they observe their religion. Like, they say there is racism behind the white Jews at time. So I think the fact that you go to HBCU and you guys are more welcoming, like, it's a really good thing that you are welcome to all religions and people from many different backgrounds. But I think from my experience at PWI, there is a hint of racism behind some religious motives at my school. I'll say, Jonah, one last question for you is, I mean, we were kind of talking about it when you joined, but have you ever faced any pushback for being openly Christian at times while you were at Morehouse, while you've been at Morehouse?
Not really. I would say that I've been exposed to more different types of Christianity. Like, I grew up Baptist, but I have a friend that's Episcopalian. And for the first time on Easter, I went to his church, and it was like something totally different than what I'm used to. Not in a bad way, but it's just something that I wasn't used to. But, like, I would say being here at Morehouse, like, but I've never been, like, challenged or, like, someone coming in my face like, oh, why are you this, why are you that? Like, you know, that's just my school. Like, I feel like a lot, I mean, it's a brotherhood, so, like, we have conversations about it, but nobody's going to, like, speak out against you in public events.
All right, so before you wrap it up, Jeff, you already know, I end all my episodes asking my guests 10 questions. This time we got 4, because there's more, y'all.
But before we get into that, Nate, is it cool if I say something real quick?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but another thing that I want to point out, when it comes to on-campus ministries, it can be a great thing. But something that I want to really, that I really want your audience to know, don't just join any random campus ministry just because they're talking about Jesus. And the reason I say that is because of this. You got to check their doctrine. Always do that. Whatever the website is for that specific ministry, click on their catalog and look for their doctrine, because people might say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But then they believe in some very false stuff, whether they don't think that he's God, they don't think that he's a man, they don't believe the virgin birth. We just don't know. So it's really important to check the doctrine to make sure it's on point. And if the campus ministry doesn't even have a doctrine, that should probably be a red flag. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, like there's a bunch of Christian ministries at my school. All have, like I said, there's that one that says God is a woman. But they all put the Christian label on them. And I don't know, I mean, I'm glad there's multiple ministries, but I'll look at who's more trustworthy than others. Is there anything else that y'all want to say about the topic before we get into the questions? All right. So each of y'all going to answer the same questions. Let's do this order. Dom, Jeff, Sean, Jonah. That's the order.
Yep.
So first question is, what's your favorite Bible verse?
Ah, this is actually kind of embarrassing because I got a good amount of scripture memorized and my favorite verse, I barely have it memorized. So I'm going to just tell you what it is. Galatians 2:20. I love that verse. In the New American Southern translation, I'm going to do the best I can. But it goes a little bit like, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer me living, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What translation was that? I don't know. It's like, nah. It's pretty close to the NASB, but I got to memorize that one. But that is a Bible verse that I really like.
Oh, are we going to order, like, per question? Or is it,
per question.
Yeah, oh. I was confused for a second, my bad.
Yeah, me too. I think I answered this already, but
you probably have.
John 15:5. More the whole verse is like, that's the I am the vine, you are the branches verse, but the part that really sticks out to me is Jesus says, without me you can do nothing, and that always hits me really hard. It's just the truth. You can't do anything without Jesus in your life.
Amen.
This one's kind of hard because it's like, there's been so many verses that have like come into my life that I'd like, can't decide on what my favorite is. And I have two, but I'm like, pick one. It's Psalms 23:4. That's like one of them. The other one is, where is it? I just put it up. And it don't matter. But basically it's just saying that no matter what you may be going through, like, you might feel like you all the way at the bottom, you hit rock bottom, nothing in your life is going right. You still got God. God's going to get you through it. And, like, it's led so much of my life. That's kind of, like, why I am the way I am right now. Because I'm just like, it be what it be. Stuff might not be going right. But, like, at the end of the day, I still got God. He got me. So, nothing to worry about.
I would say my favorite verse is Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And it's such a perfect verse in the sense that, like, it relates to so much in my life, because oftentimes you end up wondering, why isn't this happening right now? Why am I going through this? And then, like, I just think about that verse, everything, there's a season. So right now may not be my season, or this may not be happening right now, but there will be a time where that will happen.
All right, Don, back to you again. What's your favorite college memory?
My favorite college memory, that's a good one. I'd probably say my favorite memory, and this is a very general thing, but honestly, just laughing with my friends from Towson University. I love to laugh. I love comedy, and just all those times I, could just eat with my friends and just have a good time and just laugh. That if that counts, I think that's my favorite memory.
For me, I have two. One is my freshman year of college. my spring semester, when I started going to the gym, at the end of the semester, it was like this whole group of people started going to the gym, like all at the same time, not together, but we were all be there at the same time. Mike and Sierra would be there too, when we got really close, but it would be like, after we'd stay there until the gym would close at like 11, I think it closes at 11. And then we'd just be standing outside talking to each other for like an hour, just a whole group of us. And then two would be my 20th birthday. I went with all my friends and we had dinner together and we went to this Korean barbecue place. And usually when I go to Korean barbecue, like the waiters kind of like help you cook the food, you know, but at this place, by my school, they kind of just like gave you the meat and they were like, you know, go cook it. So, there was a lot of arguing going on at first and the dinner was not going in like as I would have imagined in my head. There was a lot of chaos going on, but like by the end we figured out a system and like cooked the food and it was just a really great time to spend with my friends. So those are my two favorite memories.
I think mine might be, I'd say sophomore year, so I guess right now, just like connecting with friends, like going out, doing stuff, having fun. And then just recently, the trip I just took down to Florida with Beam, one of the greatest trips I've ever taken. And it's just like being able to connect with so many people and then it's like have fun. Because I know in freshman year, I was having fun, but it was more like I'm having fun, but it was like not as genuine as it's been now where I'm just like, okay, yeah, let me like go out, do stuff. I'm like vibing, I'm having a good time. And then being able to do my own thing and then still hang out with people and just like enjoy myself. So, yeah.
I think I have two memories for sure. So Morehouse's new student orientation is like a very big deal. And last semester, I had a chance to serve as a leader for that. And that was truly like an awesome experience. It's a lot that goes into that. A lot of long nights, but like I really bonded and was able to create new like friendships and bonds with people that like I probably would have never talked to before. And then also for spring break, I got a chance to go to Africa. And that was like truly like one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had. So I would say those two for sure, best college experience so far.
All right, next question is, where do you see yourself at the age of 40?
Well, at the age of 40, by God's grace, if I get there, I see myself teaching at a Bible college or seminary with a family, hopefully with children who want to be in Christian ministry, but it's all by God's grace and His will.
By the age of 40, hopefully I will have been and still be a very accomplished filmmaker. You know, hopefully we get a couple Oscars. I would hope. I want to have my own film company, and I want to be like, it's really hard to like get into the film industry. So I want to be like, I want to have a studio that like caters to new filmmakers and like being able to teach people how to get into the industry and like, you know, hearing people's ideas and helping them bring their ideas to life. I can have that level of status where I can be able to help people do what they want to do. I want to be able to have the amount of like, I want to be able to have some money, like give back to my school and, you know, help build up our film school. But yeah, I just hope that I'm accomplished enough that I can be at the level that I can start giving back to other people. And hopefully I will have fallen in love by then. Hopefully. We'll see.
I'm in the same boat as Beam. I hope to like have my own little established mini series animated going on, like on the side, you know, me, I'm an art guy. I be drawing sometimes, I guess, you know, and then just like doing a job that I really enjoy. since I know animation's a really tough industry to get in, so either I'll be overseas on my grind, or I'll be here working for like a game company, you know, all that stuff on TVs, on TikTok, you'll be seeing it. It's going to be me. It's going to have my name on it. You know, the one and only Ice Spice. Or, you know, I'm just going to be vibing, but like content with life. And I also just want to be in a spot where I can like give back, show thanks for like all the stuff that people have done for me over the years, and just be like happy with myself. And I guess, you know, being a level would be cool too, but you know, it'll always work out for everybody. So.
All right, I'm going to say this real quick. I have to dip. My apologies. But by the time I'm 40, I'm hope I'm able to be in a position where I'm happy and enjoying life. And to me, that looks like being a successful lawyer in the sports realm. And prior to that, just being a good sports journalist up until then. But thank you, of course, for my brother, Nate. I love you, brother. Had a enough time tonight to step in real quick. Love you guys, Beam, Sean. I don't think I've met you yet, Dom. But it's nice to meet you, sure. Brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Right. Appreciate it.
No problem. Y'all take care.
You too.
All right. Last question is, what advice would you give to someone that's about to go to college?
So that's a really good question. I think it's a couple things I would say. Number one, stick to your convictions always. And I'm assuming that I'm speaking to a Bible-believing student, but stick to your convictions that you have from Scripture, because college is pretty tough, and that's a place where your faith is really going to get tested, and you're going to be tempted to compromise on some of your beliefs when you're in college. So try to find people that are of like minds that are also Christians, so that you can encourage each other and so that you can, once again, just not compromise. And I think another thing that would help is just to enjoy it. Once again, you don't want to compromise, so you don't have to go to all these parties if they're doing a bunch of wild stuff, but you can still have a good time. And like, and I love what Nate said, Christians have fun. It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a blessing from God to have joy. So I think that you should have fun and enjoy your time at college. And I also think that college is a great place to see what's out there in terms of careers. There were certain careers paths that I didn't even know existed until I got to college. So really try to see what's out there and try to find your passion, so that if you can work in that field, whatever your passion is, and whatever place that you'll be able to be of service, just try to find your passion and stick with it, and it'll be joyful. It won't even feel like work. So yeah, I think that's some of the pieces of advice I would give.
Biggest piece of advice I would give is don't change for anyone. Be yourself at all times. No matter who you are, just be yourself, because you're gonna get to college, and you know there's gonna be a lot of people, and you're gonna want to make new friends, and people are gonna want you to do this and that. But like Dom was saying, you know, don't compromise yourself for anyone. If you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Stay who you are and be yourself, and choose a major that you love. Do what you love, because after these 4 years, you're going to have to go out and go to work, and you don't want to do a major that you don't like, and then you're going to graduate and be stuck doing a job you don't love for I don't know how many years, then your life's going to suck because you're not enjoying it. Pick a major that you're passionate about and do that, and yeah, have fun, enjoy it. It's only 4 years, so like, you know, please enjoy yourself.
100% agree. Don't change for nobody. And even if you make it, you're going to look back and be like, okay, I made it. But am I the same person that like a younger version of me would be proud of? Like, be somebody who younger you would be like, okay, so I made it. And like Beam said, like, I'm just copying everybody today, I guess. Just don't, because I know that I'm like going to go off on a tangent, but I know this one girl at my school who, because of her boyfriend, she changed her major. They broke up. And now she's just like stuck doing something she don't love. She doesn't know if she wants to switch her major again. I'm just like, see, that's why you gotta be your own person. Like, yeah, you wanna make friends, you wanna fit in. But it's like, that's high school stuff. We're in college now. You have to be comfortable with being your own person. So that, just do that. Don't change for nobody. Be your own person. Have fun, not too much fun. Freshman year might be one of the most important years, because that's like getting your foot in the door. You don't want to like party too much and then be like, oh man, I'm burnt out, I don't want to do this no more. And then you drop out and they're like, what are you doing with the rest of your life? So yeah.
Yes. And like make the most of your time. Whatever, do whatever you want to do and make the most of your time. One of my favorite quotes of all time is, muere con recuerdos, no con sueños. And die with memories, not dreams. Do what you want to do and make good memories, so that, you know, by the time these 4 years pass, you're not like, oh, I wish I would have done that. I wish I could have done that. Do what you want to do and do what you love. Don't worry about anyone else. Just yourself.
Sean, I think it's absurd that you just called that person out. But
hey, man.
Hey, that's a great. I'm not gonna lie, that is a great example. Like, hey, don't compromise. Not for a man, woman, friend, or anything in between. Don't compromise. So yeah, that wraps it up. Thank you. You know what? Bonus question. Say one good thing about your mother.
My mother is a hardworking and loving and just great individual.
My mom, growing up, I felt like she was really hard on me, but as I got older and I matured, I realized that everything she was telling me was so wise. Some of the greatest advice I've ever been given is from my mom to this day. I go to her for everything. If I, like, you know, if I'm confused about something, I'm about to make a big decision, I always go to her because she's one of the wisest people I know. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I just remember growing up, I was just like, man, why she always say this? Why she like this? And then just like now, and especially just recently, I'll just go to her, I'll ask her, like, we'll be talking like it's normal. And I'm just like grateful, because I'll hear her voice sometimes when I'm like doing decisions or whatever. And I'll be like, okay, this is like what the right thing is. So I'm just like glad that she was like hard on me, but like not too hard, to the extent of the stuff that she ingrained in me stayed in my head. And then I'm like not, you know, acting all crazy in the streets or whatever. And I'm like a functional member of society to some extent, you know.
My mother is a great role model, and a lot of people look up to her, and so do I. So that now wraps it up. Dom, Jeff, Sean, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. And Jonah, I'm glad that you're on my podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Fish.
Of course. Jeff, this is your like 4th, 5th episode. I don't know, but hey, appreciate it.
Hey, man, you know, I'm always going to be here for you no matter what. People love King Beam, you know. Gotta give
I feel
him
like you're trying
love,
to call me
you
know out.
Anyways. If you're still watching.
Some people missed the last 2 episodes. That's all.
Well, maybe I was
busy.
Oh,
gosh. She's instigating. If you're still watching, thank you. Appreciate you. I love you. Go watch King Beam's stuff. He has a lot of things. He makes videos and such. Come to Bible study. If he ever does that.
Okay.
Come to Bible study. Come to group therapy. Click the links in my description, stuff like that. Yeah. See ya.
Peace.